It is finished. Consummatum est. It is consummated. So much on Good Friday comes to an end. It is finished. The incarnation of the second person of the Holy Trinity, begun in Bethlehem 33 years earlier, when God took on flesh, when God became one of us, the presence of the second person of the Holy Trinity as a man walking on this earth is finished. It ends on Good Friday. But perhaps the whole point of the incarnation of God coming among us was to lead to this day. After all, the reason that God became man, that Jesus came in the first place, was to show us the love of God. Love can sometimes be an intangible sort of thing. God wanted us to know concretely how much he loved us. And that is why he came. And that is why today he died. As amazing as it was to think that God would become one of us, as much as we marvel at the day of Christmas, to see that God is born as a little baby and find that so strange and marvelous, today is an even stranger, more mysterious, and more beautiful day. Today, the mission of the Messiah is consummated. It is finished. We know that when Jesus was born, there was no room for him in the inn. Rather, Jesus was born humbly in a cave with no place to lay his head. His mother Mary creates that first little infant crib for Jesus out of the wood of the manger. Not a bed, certainly, that Mary would choose, but the best she could do on that Christmas night. As we look forward 33 years, we find Mary once again laying Jesus to sleep, this time in death, on the wood of the cross. Not certainly a bed of her choosing, but she's there, just as she was at Christmas. She's there on Good Friday, standing and placing her son lovingly on the wood. We are called to draw close to Mary on this day. Mary shows us how to live this day, standing patiently by the cross of Jesus, there to pray. What else can we do on this day? It's a day on which we recognize that the love that came into the world, the love that came to show us how God created everything for us and made us the pinnacle of his creation, that love we crucified. It is a strange day. We can rightly say that at any point, God would have been justified in saying, enough. This whole human experiment has failed. I came to show them love. I gave them free will that they might choose me. But instead, they have rejected me. What could be more concrete a sign that we have rejected God than the cross? St. John puts it beautifully, if poignantly, that Christ, the Word, came into the world as light, but the world preferred darkness. He came to his own, but his own people received him not and rejected him. Brothers and sisters, that is not an event that took place once 2,000 years ago. We are here today because we know that is an event that sadly plays out every day of our life. Every day, in little ways, and sometimes in big ways, we say, no, I will receive God not. I do not want you, God. I don't trust you. I don't love you. I don't want you. How many times in our lives have we said that with our words, with our actions? We needn't look far to know who killed Jesus. We did. And that is why on this day, there's nothing more for us to do but lie on the floor in shame, but also in confidence. Confidence that this Jesus, who we crucified, who died for us, says from the cross, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." We pray that with his grace we might know better what we do, that our lives would reform, that the cross might be a new beginning for us. Because we know today on this Good Friday that we needn't try to pretend that we don't know how the story ends. We know the end of this story. Jesus does not end on the cross. He will rise. He has risen. But what difference will that make in our lives? That is the great hope that draws us here today. Society is not too keen these days on focusing on what we've done wrong. We like to make ourselves the victim. We like to sue, to bring lawsuits, or even just to claim that people should pity us and say, "Woe is me." We like to be the victim. Today, we know there is one victim here whom we honor, a victim that died to take away your sins and my sins, to take away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, slain for us on the cross this day. He buys for us the price of life. In our gospel today, we see that Pilate puts an inscription above Jesus' head that reads simply, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." That title is designed to mock him. But it's not Pilate so much that mocks him as it is his own people, as perhaps one of the saddest lines in Scripture. When the King of Kings comes to save his people, his own people cry out, "We have no king but Caesar." How sad. And yet, don't we do that? Every time we put the things of this world, petty political things, our own popularity, our own esteem and power in this world, every time we put the things of this world ahead of the kingship of God, we say, "I have no king but Caesar." Today we have to honestly ask ourselves, is God first? Jesus gave everything for us. What are we willing to give him? Is he first? Or rather, is God something that maybe we have our plans, and maybe if God fits, we fit God in here and there if it's convenient? It was not convenient for Jesus on Good Friday. We pray today that this might be a great day of grace. Not just a day to remember an event 2,000 years ago, but a day in which that past event is made present here today and it changes our lives. For we know that the cross, the wood of that tree that held the body of Jesus, becomes for us today the tree of life. As Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden and could no longer grab the fruit of the tree, today we are invited to venerate, to adore that tree, and to receive its fruit in Holy Communion. The question then is, what difference will that make in our life? If we are to truly call this day good, then it can only be so in our lives if they are changed. In a few hours, a few days, we'll celebrate the great triumph of Easter. But if that triumph is going to have meaning, it means that today we have to dig deep, deep into our own unworthiness, to put aside any barriers or masks that we have to say that I'm really not that bad of a person. We are. On this day, we must enter into the lowliness of our sin and allow Jesus to take it to the cross. If we do that, then we will celebrate on Easter our new life that begins with the cross. And then we can rightly call this day good.